Oh, hey there, bud.
We heard you like Dungeons & Dragons. Fancy that.
We're your Canadian neighbors, eh? Dungeons & Dragons.
And we just started season 3, which means it's the perfect place to start with us. Let me give you a little taste of the show.
How much is a donkey cost?
Russ, how much is a donkey cost?
The question everyone wants to know.
Is he ever going to give you up?
Never going to give you up. Never going to let you down. Orcus is going to rule all and he won't desert you.
Find out why Dungeons & Dragons has been downloaded more than 1 million times. Start listening to season 3 today, anywhere fine podcasts are found or at dumbdragons.com.
This is my podcast accent. This is how I will now speak.
I can't remember how to speak into a podcast.
Neither can I. It's, you know what? I haven't seen you in over a month.
Yeah.
That was crazy because I was on vacation. Then you were on vacation. And then you came home from vacation with a t-shirt and a keychain and a positive COVID test.
Yeah.
So you had to sit out again.
Yeah. What a funny story that one is.
It's hilarious.
Yeah, we should have had a couple other podcasts, but there was a little snafu at the border, a little my bad.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, we weren't able to do one.
Yeah.
So we'll knock out this one, and then I'm off next week.
So we're doing one podcast in August?
Yeah.
Oh, no, we'll have one in the final week of August as well.
Right, and then it'll be on. I don't think we have vacation time ever again, I think.
No, we used it all. But thank you to everybody who is, I don't know, streaming, downloading, wherever you get this podcast. Thank you very much. So last week I was away in the Okanagan. I was in Kelowna just before everything started to burn to the ground. It was on fire then, but it's not like it was as we're recording this podcast, where they're telling all the tourists, get out and get out now.
In fact, I think one of the hot spots right now is around Peachland. You said you were ziplining in the area just days prior.
Can I give a recommendation? So I'm going to have two recommendations on the show this week.
Oh, sure.
The Zip Zone in Peachland. It is fantastic. It's a zip line course, 6 zip lines, 400 feet off the ground.
Ooh.
Like, okay, 381 if you want to get technical. Like, you are way up there. And the zip lines are long. Like, one of them you hit 80 kilometers an hour on. That's fast. Your face is being pulled back by the G-force.
Zip lines are a good time, except for when you get to the end, do they have a good system for slowing you down, or do you just slam into a...
a pole?
Yeah.
Like, we've done zip lines in Mexico. You and I have.
Yeah.
Right? And, yeah, you kind of hit a pole, or they tie a mattress around the pole. No, these ones, you had two guides on each one, so the guide would go across first, and then he or she would set a brake on the other side, and if they didn't set the brake hard enough, they'd kind of body check you. They'd grab you.
Okay, so, good.
Yeah, it was good. Zip Zone, and I think you can find them, I don't know, zipzone.ca?
Yes.
Try that. If not, how many zip zones can there be in Peachland, British Columbia?
I'm guessing not many.
No. So anyway, that's where I was. You went all the way down to Austin, Texas.
Yeah, I was in Texas. So I flew to Austin and then drove back to Alberta, which took several days.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw some fun stuff along the way.
Did you, or is that?
Well, I had a few things of note happen. One, I was in Austin walking around and got a tap on my shoulder. Someone wanted to talk about the Alexis on Fire shirt I was wearing.
Oh.
And I turn around and he's like, have you ever seen them? I was like, yeah. And he's like, I've toured with them a few times.
Okay, you have my attention.
I was like, what? He's like, oh, I'm in a band called Rise Against.
Wow.
And it was the guitar player from Rise Against.
And in our circle, our music circle, Rise Against is a big deal.
Yeah.
And that guy just came up and tapped you on the shoulder and wanted to talk about Alexis on Fire.
Yeah.
Wow, that's cool.
Very casually mentioned his band. So we chatted for a few minutes. I guess he just lives down there. He doesn't like the cold weather in Chicago where the rest of the band lives.
Yeah.
And just fluke ran into him. I think they're on tour right now, too.
Wow. So are you guys best friends now?
I think so.
Yeah.
We hit it off pretty well.
Hey, in Texas, can you buy a beer, like a single beer at the gas pump?
Yeah. Gas stations, grocery stores, they all sell. It's crazy.
I was filling up a rental car in Florida, and there was like a barrel of, like on the pump island, right next to the gas pump. It's like, hey, beer to go. I didn't do it, but it's a weird concept to me.
In Texas, I'll have two recommendations this week.
Okay.
And if you're ever in Texas, there's a chain of gas stations just in that state called Bucky's.
Okay.
Their mascot is a beaver. But
okay.
They're these massive, the biggest gas station you've ever seen. They'll have 150 pumps. Then you go inside, and it's like the size of a Walmart inside, and they sell the Bucky's logo on everything to the point it's beyond obnoxious, to the point it's just funny.
Did you come home with a Bucky's t-shirt?
I have a Bucky's shirt.
Good.
You can get undies. You can get a cutting board with the Bucky's logo. Like, you have shopping carts you go around. It's the most wild thing I've ever seen in my life. Bucky's in Texas. It's
so that's
crazy.
Your recommendation is go to Texas just so you can go to a gas station called Bucky's.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, their yogurt-covered pretzels are fantastic.
What?
Yeah.
In Texas, that was your go-to? Yogurt-covered pretzels?
They're my vice.
Wow.
Anyway, so I saw the Rise Against guy in Austin.
Yeah.
I stopped in Waco, Texas.
Oh.
For no other reason than that's where they film Fixer Upper, my beloved HGTV show.
That's your favorite HGTV show, right? Chip and Joanna Gaines?
Oh, she brought Shiplap back.
Single-handedly.
Yeah, she made the farmhouse cool again.
Yeah.
And they have a restaurant there, so we went to the restaurant to have brunch. 3-hour wait.
Did you wait?
No.
Good.
No. But I did creep on one of the houses they did. I was able to find the address.
Oh.
And I creeped on one of the houses.
Did it look as good in real life as it does at the end of the TV show?
It stood out from the other houses.
Oh, okay.
That's for sure. But
do you know where Chip and Joanna live, though?
No, I didn't creep that much.
Oh.
But Waco, Texas, overall, no need to stop there.
Ooh, hot take. Take that, Waco, Texas. Waco used to only be famous for...
that hostage culty thing.
Yeah, there was like a doomsday cult there.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if they were a doomsday cult, but there was a cult there.
It was like a standoff that lasted weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then Fixer Upper came. Mm-hmm. And then a little further north, I ended up in Dallas, and this was the weirdest thing of my entire trip. We were driving through Dallas, and I'm like, what has happened in Dallas? And, JFK was shot here. Do we go see where that happened? I mean, there's probably some kind of monument or something.
Yeah.
And so we roll up to the place. It's called Dealey Plaza, right downtown Dallas. And there's not much of a monument at all. But what they do have is that on the road where it happened, there's actual X's on the spot.
Ooh.
On the street. And people will, in between cars, will run out onto the street, stand on the X where he got shot in the head, and get their photo taken with their arms in the air smiling.
Like a thumbs up. Yeah, hey, look where I'm standing, everybody.
Look where I am. And I thought that was a little odd.
Did you find the grassy knoll?
I couldn't really see it.
Oh.
And, like, when you watch the footage of it, and then you see the building where the shots allegedly came from.
Yeah.
Angles don't make sense.
Huh. So you're maybe a disbeliever now?
I am more than I was before. I mean, I'm no expert, but angles don't add up.
Okay. Bryce Kelly, welcome back from vacation.
Yeah.
No more COVID?
No, I don't think I have. That's a whole other thing.
Yeah, whatever. Can I have a sip of your root beer? A lawn chair is a good time chair, but you're aware of that. It folds down to half the size so you can lay it flat. I can watch the world go by and live without a care. I never had a bad time in my old lawn chair. Woo! Welcome to it. It's the Lawn Chair Profits, episode number 68 or something like that. Maybe it's 70. Maybe it's over 100. We should have kept better track.
It could be 13 for all I know.
It could be. My name's Garner Andrews. That's Bryce Kelly over there. This is the part of the show now where we do recommendations. We just tell you cool things that we've discovered. Bryce, you already talked about Bucky's.
Yeah.
That's your recommendation. Go to Texas so you can go to a Walmart-sized gas station called Bucky's.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. I already did. Mine was just sort of an accidental recommendation, and that was the Zip Zone where I went ziplining. And I paid for it. It's not like I got anything for free. But I want to talk quickly about a podcast that I've just finished listening to. I listened on my vacation. I had to turn it off a couple of times because it was too intense.
Ooh.
It was, it's called Against the Odds, and there's several seasons of this, but the season I listened to was about the rescue of those Thai boys, that soccer team.
Oh, in the cave.
In the cave? Oh, my God. It was next level. I've always been fascinated by those stories, like the Chilean miners, how they got those guys out of the ground. That was spectacular. But this story of how they got these 12 boys and their coach out of the ground, like a lot, you listen to what they were up against and you're like, Those kids aren't getting out. They're doomed. They're going to have to stay down there forever and ever and ever. But it sounded horrifying because there were times, like they interview the rescue divers who actually dove down there and got these kids. And at times it's like you're swimming along. You got all your diving gear on, and the production is fantastic. Like, you can hear the deep breathing in this podcast and the bubbles and the dramatic music. You're swimming through, I don't know, an opening probably not much bigger than this computer monitor I'm staring at right now. With all your gear on, now you got to swim back with a kid strapped to you.
Ooh.
And it's like a 4 to 6 hour trip. Like, it's not just a short little swim. It's a long way. And the thing I found most terrifying, and this isn't a spoiler, I think a lot of people already knew this. We knew that they had to drug the boys in order to swim them out, just so that they didn't panic and freak out. But did you know they also zip-tied their wrists and their ankles together in case they did wake up and they started freaking out underwater? They
oh
were
God.
Zip-tied at the same time. And
Yikes.
There was a couple of boys who did come to while they were swimming them out, and they had to re-drug them underwater. Like,
oh
they had
to, God.
Yeah.
I remember the story, and I remember seeing, like, a map of what they had to swim through, and it was just, like, this winding up and down and around.
Yeah.
The cave system, and oh, my God.
Yeah, it's only 4 episodes long, and the episodes are, like, 40 minutes or something. There's a couple of episodes that are optional at the end. One where they interview one of the rescue divers again, and it's pretty fascinating to listen to that. And then there's Meet the Hosts or something like that. But anyway, it's called Against the Odds. And I think the one host of this podcast, he alluded to it quickly. I think he's Canadian. He might be from Newfoundland.
Oh.
Yeah. I wish I could remember his name, but he does a very good job. Against the Odds, and listen to the season about how they rescued those boys from the cave. Fantastic.
Interesting. Actually, that sounds pretty good.
Go for it. Oh. I dare you. I had to turn it off, though, because I got too wound up. Like I said, it's very, very intense.
Oh. Now it makes my second recommendation seem lame.
What have you got?
Well, I just have a song.
Oh.
It's not as intense.
Is it an angry song?
No.
No?
No, it's, now it feels lame compared to that.
What is it?
Less exciting. It's this Swedish band that popped up on a recommendation thing for me. They're called MCC, Magna Carta Cartel.
Hmm?
Swedish band. They have a song called Turn, and it's just, I don't know, I just like it, so I'm recommending it.
Are we going to hear a clip?
Sure. Like that MCC.
Magna Carta Cartel.
Yeah. Not as intense as boys being rescued from a cave in Thailand, but still pretty good.
Garner Andrews and Bryce Kelly are the Lawn Chair Prophets. Two guys just watching the world go by.
So there was the story the other day about the governor of Utah. His name is Spencer Cox.
Oh, yeah.
And he got a letter from one of his constituents who was complaining that his name sounded obscene.
Oh, jeez.
Cox. Therefore, he should change his name. And it just made me start thinking about just the lamest complaint that you've ever had against you. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Like someone filed a complaint, went to above your head, or maybe said it to your face.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember one time somebody telling me I talked too loud on the phone. And that one hurt. That one cut. But I don't recall ever talking too loudly on the phone. But
my favorite was your cologne one.
Oh, yeah. I should have brought the postcard in here. I keep it on my bulletin board in my office just to remind me of how outraged I was that a coworker sent me an anonymous postcard here saying that I wore too much cologne. I have never worn cologne in my life, ever. I shower every morning because I'm into hygiene, and I put on a little deodorant and some toothpaste. That, and I don't know. So I got blamed for wearing too much cologne when we both know that was another guy that used to work here.
Yeah, because I've filed complaints against that guy's cologne.
Yeah.
Because it was over the top.
You would know, like we're in an airtight, sealed room right now, and you would know when he walked into the building. at the back of this building. We wouldn't even see him. We would open the studio door and we'd go, oh yeah, so-and-so's here.
It was unbelievable. And yeah, I think you got blamed for that.
Yeah, I was collateral damage on that. And that one still haunts me to this day, that somebody in this building thinks I'm Cologne guy.
I just love that they did it via postcard.
Yeah, mailed me a postcard. Jeez.
That's so funny.
So we just got everybody to chime in and tell a story about that one time somebody complained against you. Some of the stories were, I don't know, this one right here. I was once told by a coworker in front of at least five other people that I needed to learn to eat more Canadian because my lunch stunk.
Ooh. You are taking the exit towards racist town?
Oh, you're not even. That's not. You're on the down. You're on the ramp into racist town at that point. You're not even just you're not just looking at the map going, oh, look, there's an exit to racist town. No, you're on the down ramp.
Oh, sounds like a fun workplace.
Yeah. Hang on a second. I'm going to grab this. Hello?
I just thought I would share a complaint I received back in the day when I was in grade 11 or so. It was a football jamboree. We were all playing a bunch of just for fun spring games. And I was a little bit of a bigger kid. Not too big, but I had a bit of a belly. And I had my shirt off because it was a little over 30 degrees. And one of the parents complained that I better put it back on because it was offensive. And I maintained that, well, they were just doing that because I was a little bit chubby. But if one of the kids with abs had their shirt off, it wouldn't be an issue. And it just stuck with me to this day. And I wrote it out until they forced me to either leave or put a shirt on. And I maintain that there's nothing wrong with boy having a shirt off in the heat.
So you never did. You didn't cave and tarp up.
I had to. My coach came up to me and said, well, these parents are making a really big deal about this, Dan. I think you're going to have to put your shirt on. And I'm like, well, you know, they're just doing it because I'm chubby. And they said, oh, you're going to have to put the shirt on. Otherwise, the principal is going to make me send you home. So I put a shirt on because I had a couple more games to play. But to this day, I refuse to wear a shirt if I don't have to.
And that's the story of how Dan developed an eating disorder and body image issues. Telling a kid to put a shirt on because he's too fat.
It was a different time. If you did that now.
Oh, my God. The entire league would be canceled.
Your face would be posted everywhere. He shamed a child.
Yeah.
Man.
This captured both of our attention. I've been told, Tom, you are sexually repulsive by my friend's wife. I'm a pretty confident guy, so it didn't hurt, but man, it has stuck with me. Anonymous. I love the fact that he quotes his name, Tom, in this, but yet wants to remain anonymous. I need the backstory here. Like, I need to know what happened moments before his friend's wife told him he was sexually repulsive.
Yeah.
What was he doing?
That one doesn't just come out of the blue. That one had built up for some time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Hey, guys, in relation to the governor, I know a woman who can't/refuses to say a word with cock or sounds like it, cocks in it. Think peacock, hencock, poppycock, shuttlecock. She will not say any of them.
How does she play badminton?
Yeah. She probably calls it a birdie.
Amateur hour.
Yeah. A lady on my street complained to me how annoying it is that I walk my dog every day. Because it makes her dog bark when I do. She then asked me to stop walking my dog. That one caught me off guard. Yeah, no kidding.
That one hits close to home because I have next door neighbors that are in their backyard 23 hours a day. And my dog sees them through the fence and loses his mind. And there are times where I'm like, are they really outside again? But I would never approach them and tell them to not be outside.
What are they doing in their yard 23 hours a day? Is that the guy that's constantly racking one into the chamber?
Yeah, clearing his throat.
That guy?
Yeah, they're just always doing something. One day...
Do they have a fire going all day?
No.
Good.
No, but he runs like a... If there's a leaf on his ground, he has one of those mulcher picker-upper...
Oh.
He runs that 12 times a day.
He can't just go pick it up.
No. So I understand being irritated, but I would never actually tell them to stay inside.
Let's grab another phone call here. Hi.
So the complaint, I've got a pretty good one. It was my first job. I was working in Saskatoon, and I would go around to the shop and say hi to all the guys in the morning, see how they were doing, if they needed anything, and I had built up a pretty good rapport with all of them, so we'd laugh and joke. In my performance review, in my second year, I think it was there, I was told I was being too jovial and I needed to be more serious.
Was it a place where there should be no joy?
It was a machine shop. There should absolutely have been joy.
There's no joy in a machine shop.
None allowed.
I don't know. I understand. You obviously, you want positive and upbeat people. But there is a time and a place. Like, it's okay to be friendly, but when you're over the top, jovial first thing in the morning, it can be a little off-putting.
It can rub some people the wrong way.
Yeah. Let's do another one here. Hi.
Hi. You're talking about people complaining about you?
Yeah, yeah. Anyone complain about you?
It wasn't me, but I work at the OR in the university hospital, and there was a nurse there who would talk on the intercom, like just to call for service workers and stuff, and he was told that he was being too happy on the intercom.
Yeah. Do you want to dial back the joy in this place that could use a little joy?
Right? Like, it's such a serious and intense place. It was kind of nice hearing someone not sound stressed out, but yeah, he was told to not sound so happy.
Your attention, please. Couple of things here. First of all, the government wants us to take a pay cut. That's fantastic. And we have a code red, which I think is the bad one.
Have a nice day.
I'm being told that a code blue is the bad one. Code red is a fire. Although I would argue that a fire in a hospital is not a particularly good thing either, but code blue means somebody is on death's doorstep.
Yeah, code red definitely sounds more dire.
Mm-hmm.
So we can stay with that.
Code blue is sort of like water's blue. Ooh, wouldn't you like to go in that water?
Yeah, I like the blue Gatorade, so code blue sounds refreshing.
It
cold
does.
Blue sounds like a Mountain Dew.
What about code brown?
Oh, that sounds bad.
Yeah.
That sounds like a bad time.
Don't want a code brown. We should be in charge of hospital announcements. I think I'd be good at that.
Yeah, I think I could stand there and be like, ooh, we need a priest in room 203. Speaking of priests, a priest and a rabbi walk into a bar. See how long I can go for.
And the rabbi's like, who put that bar there? Whew. Okay. Hey, my parents live in a high-end gated community in Vancouver. A few years ago, my mom bought a new car that was bright orange. Not one but two different neighbors in their complex left notes on her windshield complaining that her new car was, quote, garish and hideous, and would do nothing more than bring all of their property values down, Glenn.
Ooh, I appreciate the use of the word garish.
Yeah, you used that on me when you were talking about my house.
Yeah, your wall color.
Yeah.
I don't think an orange car would make your house worth less money.
Maybe in that community. Maybe they were only into beige cars and brown cars, the basic colors. But if I know one thing about orange cars, they're always the fast cars. There's no slow car that's orange. I was told to stop using big words at work because it made me look arrogant. I told my boss I loved English in school and reading. He didn't care. I had to dumb it down for my coworkers. Apparently words like rapier wit and omniscient and quoting movies was bad.
Interesting.
I know what none of those words mean.
I don't know that it's the worst thing in the world to be well-read.
No, I don't think it makes you look like you're showing off at all.
No.
Man, we could just keep going all day here, but I think I've had enough complaining, have you?
I'm always good for a good complaint.
Okay, one more. One more, and this is it. I was about to get intimate with a lady.
Oh, baby.
And when my shirt came off, she said, I thought you would have a better body. Slight speed bump, but not a deal breaker. LOL. I hope Ooh. You fired back with, I thought you'd have a nicer apartment.
I thought you'd be a better kisser.
I thought you would have a matching bed, skirt, and comforter combination.
I don't know. Maybe I'm shallow, but I feel like that would be a deal breaker for me. I think that'd be a mood killer.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. You have questions. The Lawn Chair Prophets have answers.
So, Bryce, we got this text message the other day, and it left me scratching my head. It left you scratching your head. This is from Josh. It says, can we talk about found food for a moment? Or not really even found food? Me and some friends went out for dinner for another friend's birthday at an establishment that boasts unlimited soup and salad. So we get there, order our food, the usual. One of the waiters walks by our table carrying some other customer's plates. Some random other customer didn't finish their bowl of pasta. So my buddy flags down the waiter and asks if he can have it. The waiter gives him this confused, almost horrified look and then hands it to him. So he scarfs it down. I may or may not have tried a couple of bites myself. Also, could this be a power move? Josh, no, not a power move at all.
Not in the slightest.
I don't know what that is.
Rarely do we get a text like this where 100% of people are on the same page.
Yeah.
And it is that is not a power move. And everything about that is repulsive.
I question the waiter. I question the restaurant's policy on giving used food to another customer. You'd think that'd be in the employee handbook to not do that.
I can't picture myself ever being in a situation where I'm there, finished my meal, see a waiter walking by with half-eaten spaghetti, and I'm like, you know what? I'll take that too.
I have very low standards when it comes to food. I will eat anything you put in front of me, but I will not eat half of a stranger's lasagna. I would not eat that.
And just imagine being the person. I couldn't eat another bite. Yeah. The waiter takes your food away, and then you just see them plop it on another table, and two people start picking away at it.
How do you know you're not eating booger pasta? And in these topsy-turvy times, should you really be eating off somebody else's plate?
It kind of seems like the last thing you should be doing. You
should maybe just go over there and French kiss them.
That is just the worst thing. I would assume it's booger pasta.
Yeah. I worked in the kitchen at a restaurant. I ate all the scraps that came back for the dishwasher. That is from Cam. I would maybe eat the crust, the hard crust off of somebody else's clubhouse. But I wouldn't eat any of the moist foods. Like, I probably wouldn't even eat the crust off of clubhouse. But if I had to choose a food to eat from a stranger's plate, that's what I would go with.
I wouldn't go with anything that they probably had to hold and then put their mouth on.
True.
I would go for something like fries, or maybe some of these fries avoided being touched or boogered on.
What if they were ketchuped on?
Ooh, that makes me think they got too close.
Yeah.
They're in the Chernobyl evacuation zone.
Yeah. They were close to being divided. Like the initial plan was, I'm going to eat this fry, so I'll put ketchup on this fry, but they never got that far. I want to grab a phone call here. Hi.
So the guy at the restaurant, that was here in Edmonton?
Apparently, yeah. Well, I don't understand. So he saw a waiter with some other customer's unfinished pasta, so they flagged him down and asked the waiter if they could finish it, and the waiter's like, sure, why not? Who would do that?
I don't know. I mean, it's one thing if a party at your table doesn't finish their meal and, you know, pass it over to you to finish it up, I guess. I mean, even then it comes off as kind of like, what, you didn't have enough food? What, you know, go ahead and order dessert instead? Or, I don't know, it just... When you said it, I was just, like, kind of horrified, like, really?
Yeah.
A stranger's food?
Like, if I was out in a restaurant with my wife and she couldn't finish her pizza, then maybe I would have some of my wife's pizza. But I wouldn't ask my friend if I could have his pizza, let alone a stranger's pasta.
Well, yeah, like, if they're walking past your table with half a pizza on a plate or whatever, I'll have that. You know, come on. I mean...
It'd be, like, even more impressive if it was wing night and the waiter was walking by with, like, a pile of just half-finished chicken wings. And you're like...
Yeah, no doubt, eh?
Gross.
Hey, look at all the meat that's still on them bones.
Yeah.
I'll eat that.
Right.
Oh, my God.
I would never, ever eat the remnants off of somebody else's chicken wing. Apparently, that's a thing, though, because we got this text, too. On the topic of finishing a stranger's food, the first time I met my boyfriend's friend, we went out for wings, and I didn't, quote, finish the wings to his liking.
Oh, no.
So he literally picked them up and ate whatever was left on the wings.
No.
To this day, I still will not go out for a meal with that man. Gross. Well, you practically made out with him.
That's one step away from him just, yeah, sucking on your teeth to get the little bit of meat out from between your teeth.
Hey, is there anything more annoying than that person in a movie theater who probably went out for a steak right before them, and now they're trying to suck that piece of steak out of their tooth?
Oof.
I was near a guy just last week while I was on vacation who kept doing that for about an hour straight. Just about made me crazy.
I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
And I don't have the poker face that if someone took one of my wings and was like, there's still meat on these bones and went to town on it, I couldn't keep a straight face.
Have we determined what restaurant gives you unlimited soup and salad?
My guess is Olive Garden.
I thought that was breadsticks. Is it Olive Garden with unlimited soup and salad?
I would assume that would be the place, yeah.
I don't know that I've ever been there before. But I thought it was breadsticks, not soup and salad.
You with any entree, you get unlimited soup or salad and breadsticks. But they also do have deals once in a while where you get all three unlimited. Like when you order like a penny pasta or something like that, you do get like a bottomless salad and breadsticks with it.
How unlimited is the unlimited? Like if you got there at 11 o'clock in the morning when they first threw open the doors and you were still there at 7 o'clock at night, are they still bringing you soup and salad and breadsticks?
As Vin Diesel in the Fast and Furious would say, that's how you treat family.
I don't recall that line from Vin Diesel in that documentary, The Fast and the Furious, but I'll take his word for it.
Sounds legit to me.
Thanks for listening to the Lawn Chair Profits Podcast with Garner Andrews and Bryce Kelly. Hear more weekday mornings on Sonic 1029 Edmonton. On your radio, on the Radio Player Canada app, and on your smart speaker. Play Sonic 1029.